Tonight, please, in God's Word to the book of 1 John, over near the latter part of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3, and we're reading just from the verse 9 of the chapter, going down just to the end, to the verse number 24. 1 John chapter 3, beginning a reading at verse 9. Looking that up, we welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered in this first prayer meeting back during or after the lockdown. But welcome you. Pray the Lord will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace in prayer. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse number 9. It says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." I believe that's a verse that maybe needs a word of explanation. It does not mean sinless perfection. There is no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. The only sinless person ever to grace this world was Christ himself. And God's people, no matter who they are, no matter wherever they are to be found, will only be sinlessly perfect in heaven and in glory. But what that verse really means is that the child of God is one who does not go down a path of habitually sinning against the open light and truth of God's word and a way continually of going contrary to God and to his word. And that's really the meaning behind those words there in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 3. Verse 10 says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth of his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer have eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso have this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. And beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, and by the Spirit which he hath given us." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 24. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. And the verse I want us just to look at this evening before we get down to prayer is verse 22 there of that chapter. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 is really our text for this evening. It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Now, in this verse, you have really set before us the requirements for answer prayer in the life of the believer, indeed in the life of the Church of Christ. Now, such words are vitally important for us to consider, because there are many people, and they are of the opinion that God's promise to answer prayer is for everyone. Well, that thinking is not correct. Yes, it is true to say that God will answer the prayer for salvation of every repentant sinner who who calls upon Christ to save them from their sin. You think of the words of Romans chapter 10, verse 13, where it says there, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that verse really means anyone who, whoever they are, who truly repents of their sin and puts their faith and trust in Christ and in his precious blood for salvation, they shall be saved. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Think of the great promise of Christ in John 6, verse 37, to every sinner, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." My, wherever that repentant sinner is to be found who humbles himself before the Lord and confesses their sin to the Lord and seeks the Lord for salvation, calls upon him for salvation, they shall be saved. However, whenever it comes to the matter of answered prayer and the life of God's people, indeed in the life of the Church of Christ, there are certain requirements to be met. And why, the Christian must realize this and understand this, because people can pray about a matter and maybe that matter is not answered and they become disappointed. And the result is that they can blame God and perhaps go so far as to say that God's promise to answer prayer has failed. Well, to make such a statement is wrong, because God's word is true and God's promises are sure. You remember what Christ said in John chapter 17, verse 17, to his heavenly Father about the word of God. He says, "Thy word is truth." God's word is truth from Genesis to Revelation. Again, think of Paul's words to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, when he says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." They're reminded that God's promises are sure. God's promises are certain. Whoever for God to answer prayer, then the conditions of his word must be fulfilled in the life of the believer, in the life of the Church of Christ. And John here highlights some of these conditions in our text this evening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 22, when he says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." We can say that this is a most remarkable statement from the Apostle John. As he writes here to God's people, he testifies of answered prayer. And my, this is due to the fact that as a believer, as he says there in the verse before us, he sought to obey God's commandments and he sought to do that which was pleasing before the Lord. This is important for us here to understand and to note. Yes, I believe set before us here in this verse is the pathway for all God's people to follow and for every member of the Church of Christ to follow if we are to know blessing in prayer, if we are to see our prayers answered by God Almighty. We would look then at these words of 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. I want us just to note here the requirements for answered prayer and the life of God's people. Notice first of all here how the believer is one who must obey God's commandments if prayer is to be answered. Look at what John says again there. He says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him," notice these words, "because we keep his commandments." And that phrase there, "his commandments," really means the things that God has charged his people to do and also the things that God has charged his people not to do. When John talks here about keeping God's commands, he means really watching those commands and observing them. That's bound up here in this thought of keeping the commandments of God. Now, God's commands for his people, where are they to be found? They're to be found in the Bible. Therefore, John here is testifying to us of his regard for the Bible, of his regard for the Word of God. I believe John was a man who read God's Word. He studied God's Word, studied the Scripture so that he could discover God's will for his life. so that he could know God's commandments for his life as a believer, as a child of God. And my, this is what keeping the commandments of God means for all God's people. Yes, as believers, you and I, as Christians, yes, we must read God's word for ourselves. How important it is that we do that daily, not just when we're at God's house in a public meeting, but privately, day by day in our lives. How important it is that we not only read God's word, but that we study God's word so that we can know God's will for our lives, that we can know God's commandments for our lives, day by day as the people of God. You remember the words of Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He says, "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." There we see why God has given us his word to guide us, to direct us in our life day by day as the people of God. Yes, it's important, yes, that we seek to practice God's word in our lives if we are to see answers to our prayers. And that's what John is underscoring here in our text. It has been said that if God is to have a sharp ear to our prayers, then we must have a sharp ear to God's commands. Turn with me in your Bible back to John's Gospel chapter 14. John's Gospel chapter 14. Look with me, please, at verses 13 to 15 of the chapter. Here we have a wonderful promise from Christ to answer prayer. But again, you'll see that it is linked into the condition that we seek to obey and keep God's commands. Look at verses 13, 14, and 15 of John chapter 14. Christ says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then look at the very next verse. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Here we have mentioned meat of prayer, of answered prayer, and also of keeping the commandments of God. And they're all linked, they're all bound together in the will of God for his people and for his church. Yes, the Lord here promises to hear and to answer our prayers, but there's also our responsibility as God's people to keep the commandments of God and to live by the commandments of God if we're to know blessing and see answers to our prayers. There was once a Christian lady, and she withdrew her membership from the church that she belonged to. And in speaking to our minister or pastor about that particular matter, she said her reason for doing so was because she no longer believed the Bible. And the reason for her unbelief was due to the fact that she had prayed about a particular matter, and as she thought, God had not answered her prayer. Thus she had felt that God's promise to answer prayer had failed. And her minister, in dealing with her, graciously told her that that was not the case. And then he took her to the words of her text here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 22. And he quoted these words to her where it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And then put the question to the lady, and the question was this: do you obey God's commandments? Are you seeking to live for God's glory in every part of your life, day by day? The woman, she had to be honest and say no. And she admitted to the fact that she was a backslider, one who had drifted far away from the Lord. And then he turned round and he spoke to that lady and says, "Well, this promise here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 is not for you." And realizing the error of her ways, the woman then, she sought the Lord for restoration. And from that day forward, she sought to live for God and the honor of God's word, and new blessing again in the place of prayer and fellowship with God and seeking God and calling upon his name. And brethren and sisters in Christ tonight, if you and I, if we are to see our prayers answered, how vital it is that we heed the word of God. You think of the words of James in James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How important it then is on a daily basis as we go about our daily life, be it in the home, be it in the family, be it in the workplace, in the community where we live, wherever we are to be found, that we pray for grace to obey and to live out the commandments of God in our life. Yes, the believer is to obey God's commands for blessing in the place of prayer. But notice the second thing here from our text. We see also that the believer must do those things that are pleasing to God if his or her prayers are to be answered. Look again at what John says here. He says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we do those things," he says, "that are pleasing in his sight." And John here speaks of doing that which pleases God. Now bear in mind, John here is a believer. He's not talking about pleasing God in the matter of salvation. The sinner can only find merit with God through the merits of Christ and the blood of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. John here is a man who's been saved for many years. He's now nearing the end of his earthly life. But he speaks here of doing that which pleases God as a believer, as a child of God. Yes, he speaks of doing that which pleases God, and he also really refers to avoiding that also which displeases God in this whole matter. And that is how it must be with us who are saved. If our prayers are not to be hindered in any way, as God is our loving Heavenly Father, we all have a responsibility to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. This was the testimony of Christ, our Savior. Think of what he said in John 8, verse 29. He says, "For I do always those things that please him." And my Christ is to be our example. Remember Paul's words to the believers in Philippi. In Philippians 2, verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Therefore, by the grace of God, you and I as believers are to seek to do what is pleasing in the sight of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, if we do not live to please God, then our prayers will be hindered. Our prayers will not be answered by God. This was something David himself realized. For in Psalm 66, verse 18, he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." How important then that as believers we live to please the Lord. And by this matter, it is vital for blessing in the place of prayer. And as that is the case, what then does it mean for us as believers to live a life that is pleasing to God? Well, I believe the Bible shows us that a life that is pleasing to God, it means a life that is one of separation from the evil ways of this ungodly world. Turn back there to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and to 17 of that chapter. You'll see this as John here writes to God's people. He says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And there the counsel is, as God's people, we are to live a life that is separate from the evil, ungodly ways of this world. Although in this world, as believers, we're not to follow the evil, sinful ways, the evil, sinful spirit of this world. Rather, God's word is to be our standard. You turn with me back there to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse number 4. And again, you'll see this same thought as Paul here writes to Timothy. Bear in mind, Paul was now soon to put on the martyr's crown. He was giving advice to Timothy, a young Christian, a young believer in the church at Ephesus. And he says to him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "No man that warreth," he says, "entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Notice these words, "that he may please him." In other words, live a life pleasing to God, who have chosen him to be a soldier. And there he was warning Timothy of the evils of this ungodly world. He was saying, Timothy, don't become ensnared by the evil, ungodly ways and the evil, ungodly spirit of this ungodly world. And for you and I as believers and pleasing God, we are to live a life that is separate from the evil, ungodly ways and the evil spirit of this world that is contrary to God. The psalmist realized the importance of this matter, for in Psalm 104, verse 47, he prayed, gather us from among the heathen. There he was praying that God's people would be gathered out from amongst the ways of the ungodly. But also we can say further tonight, a life that is pleasing to God is a life that has a love for God's people and a desire to do all that we can to help God's people on to heaven and on to glory. And you'll see how John emphasizes this here in 1 John chapter 3, where our text is to be found tonight. Look at verse 11 of the chapter. He says, for this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Verse 14, he says, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And then notice how he emphasizes it further in verses 16, 17, and 18 of the chapter. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso have this world's good and see if his brother have need and shut up his bowels with compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is all in the context of answered prayer. This is all in the context of seeking to live a life that is pleasing to God. And how important it is, yes, that we separate from the evil and godly ways of this world, but how important also it is that we show charity and compassion and love towards our brethren and sisters in Christ. How important it is in the matter of answered prayer. If you go back to the opening chapter here of 1 John, you'll see that John says something very significant in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, and these things write we unto you, notice it, that your joy may be full. And that applies to all that he goes on to say and to teach in this epistle. And if we are to know that fullness of joy here on earth as God's people, yes, there must be that separation from the evil and godly ways of this world, and there must be that spirit of Christian charity and compassion and brotherly love about our lives as God's people toward our brethren and sisters in Christ. Speaking upon this very matter, George Whitefield said, as soon as the love of God was shed abroad in my soul, I loved all who loved the Lord Jesus in sincerity of heart. And that was the mark of his life. But we can say further tonight, pleasing the Lord, it also means putting the Lord and his work first in our lives as God's people. Yes, prayer, reading the scriptures, attending God's house, witnessing for Christ, helping God's work in whatever way we can, is to put God first in our lives. This was the case with Saul of Tarsus when he was converted on the road to Damascus. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? His life from beginning to end as a Christian was marked by serving the Lord. Think of Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had a desire, a burden to serve the Lord. Even as an old man, he still wanted to serve the Lord. Think of the great promise of Christ, child of God, to you and I in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What a promise, yet what a responsibility that goes with that promise for you and I as believers to seek first the kingdom of God. Child of God, if you and I put the Lord first, I believe, yes, he'll meet our needs. Not only that, but we'll see great blessing in the place of prayer and in the quiet place of seeking the Lord. You think of the words of Noel Grant, the famous evangelist, the hymn writer of a bygone day, said, go true with God, thy vows to pay thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. Not being so daily, then let us pray for grace, as it says here in our text, to do those things that are pleasing to God. That should be our desire, our ambition, day by day as the people of God. May the Lord bless his word and write these truths upon our hearts. May they be an encouragement to us all in our Christian life and our walk with God, and to serve the Lord and live for him, and to seek his face and to call upon his name. We'll just get down to our season of prayer.